you are not a compromising Christian and you are dependent upon the power of Christ, Christ lends you his authority over the devil and his demonic hordes.
Dr. Tony Evans says the same power that energized the early church is available for us today.
So it wasn't just for the apostles. He says you have authority over Satan.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Jesus won't come into our lives unless we invite him, but the enemy will barge right in if you leave the door unlocked. So today, Dr. Evans explains how God's power can help you dislodge the devil and his demons. Let's join him.
Demonization is defined as the occupancy of evil spirits to exercise their agenda through your person. They become squatters in the house of your body. Their goal is control. They want to control physically, psychologically, and of course, spiritually. Our central passage is Mark chapter 5. We'll look at a number of other passages, but we'll work out of Mark because it's such a comprehensive statement of demonology. The story of the demoniac, Jesus Christ is validating his messiahship by means of the demonstration of his authority. He comes upon a situation in verse 2, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately a man met him from the tombs with an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit, that is a demon. You're going to discover that this man who meets him is totally controlled. In fact, Luke 8 verse 30, you don't have to turn there, says a demon had entered him. Because their ultimate goal is to move from merely oppression to possession. To make life miserable enough that you open up enough so that they take completely over. The goal of demons in this definition is to consume the personality of a person in order to bring it into subjection to their goals and their agenda. All demons aren't equal, like all people aren't equal. Some are more wicked than others. We'll look at it later, but Matthew chapter 12, verses 44 and 45 says that when one demon leaves, he goes out and finds the brotherhood who are more wicked than he, and they all come back. So once one gets in the house, it's like having a roach on your hands. They multiply fairly quickly, and they operate in packs or groups. And so we find this demoniac who is now under the control of demons. So let me review the definition of demonization, ultimately reflected in demon possession, which is the goal, is total occupation. They want to occupy the premises. They want to run you out. That is, run out your personality. What are the means that demons use to get in? What do they do? How do they do it? Well, let me tell you one of the main ways that demons get in is in the occult. Astrology, you know, worshiping the heavens, looking up your horoscope, visiting palm readers, or dialing the psychic connection. All of the above. You thought it was harmless. It is not harmless. Because it is the vehicle by which Satan enters in. In the Bible, magic, the sorcerers in Egypt, remember when Moses went to Egypt and he did his miracles? They did magic, what we would call magic. The sorcerers or the magicians from Egypt came out and imitated and duplicated what Moses had done. Why? Because they had false gods. And remember, behind every false god is the demon. So we're not just talking about no David Copperfield here. We're talking about actual power. And what those guys did, they really did. Because Satan has real power. He's a spirit being. So sometimes you look at this stuff and say that's a trick. Maybe not. Maybe that was a satanically empowered person who is doing satanically empowered things in the name of the wrong God, because they are real beings and they are potent. Astrology. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came about as they were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. Now, why would Paul be annoyed at somebody who's saying these are good guys? Because Paul doesn't want the devil helping out with God's business. That's why. And so he commands him in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And at that very moment, but when her masters saw their hope of profit was gone, this is about money, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before the authorities. Paul condemned that spirit of divination that was operating. Any form of astrology, spiritism, is condemned and is not to be tampered with. You open up yourself to satanic, demonic presence, therefore oppression, and potentially possession. In fact, in chapter 8 of Acts, verse 9, there was a certain man named Simon who formerly practiced magic in the city. He astonished the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." He was doing magic. The magic appeared to be real. They said, "This guy's got to be from God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But they came to Christ in verse 12. Simon even professed faith in Jesus Christ, but he wanted to keep the magic show going. So Peter asked to say to him in verse 20, but Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right with God." You can't have magic in Jesus Christ. That is claiming to have the power of God through the sleight of hand. The idea there was not claiming a spiritual power. In fact, it was a trick. Everybody knew it was a trick. That's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a claim to power. These people were recognizing Simon as someone sent from God. Let me tell you another thing to open you up to Satan: spiritual immaturity. Or what Ephesians 4:17 calls vanity of the mind. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says there are doctrines of demons that infiltrate the church because immature believers don't know the way of God. And so they are duped by the way of the devil using the name of God. Drugs. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, the word witchcraft is the Greek word pharmakia, which is the word that we get our English word pharmacy from, and it refers to drug use. Why is drug use a vehicle for Satan? Let me tell you why. Because drug use dulls the personality. That's why. Remember, Satan wants to enter in because he wants the personality. Drug use, intoxication by alcohol, which is just another form of drugs, all of those dull the personality. When the personality is dulled and the mind is dulled, he can slip in. That's what you have with drug use. You have a spiritual issue as well as the physiological and all the rest. Sexual immorality. The sons of God merge with the daughters of men. Genesis chapter 6. He promotes sexual immorality that he might promote control and might dominate. So, we've looked at the definition, we've looked at the distinctive, we've looked at the devices. Let's get down to the deliverance. The deliverance. In a phrase, you need to understand three things to overcome demonism in your life or to help somebody else overcome demonism in theirs. One, you need to understand, as we've been repeating all series long, the authority of Christ. Matthew chapter 12, the authority of Christ. Verse 22, then they brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and he healed him, so that the dumb man spoke and saw, and all the multitudes were amazed and began to say, "This man cannot be the son of David." Can he? The Jews said, well, he can't. Verse 24, he does this by the devil. He doesn't cast out these by God. Jesus says, any kingdom divided against himself is laid waste. Any city divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan cast out Satan, then he's divided against himself. How then shall the kingdom stand? But if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom then do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. In other words, Satan doesn't cast out Satan. And there's only one person who's bigger than the demons in your life, and that's God. Jesus spoke to the demoniac we just looked at, and the demons could not hang when Jesus showed up. To understand your position means to understand that Jesus Christ has defeated Satan and the demons by means of the cross. John chapter 12. Look at this. Because the biggest thing that can come out of this series is that you redefine yourself by virtue of your position in Christ and stop believing that you're something other than who you are in Christ. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 31. Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. What does he mean? Verse 33. And he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. Satan was about to be cast out when Jesus was lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross. And that's when Satan got booted out. Let's go a little further in this. John 16, verse 11. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. You getting the message? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. You maybe think Jesus is saying he's in charge here, that only he has the power. It is in the authority of Christ that you find the authority to deal with your demons and help others to deal with theirs. But you must view your life by your new position in Christ, not your old position in Adam. So first of all, the authority of Christ. Now, secondly, you have to understand the authority of the believer. Now that you understand your authority, you have to understand authority transference. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 1, my authority over demons I give to you. He didn't only give it to them, he gave it to the church, because he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he goes on in verse 19 and says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The keys mean authority. So it wasn't just for the apostles. He says, you have, as being part of my family, authority over Satan. And he says, Christ is all you need. Colossians chapter 2, ye are complete in him.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back in just a moment to explain how God will ultimately use us to defeat the devil. First, though, what you're hearing today is part of Tony's two-volume CD series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. It covers all your biggest questions about who these supernatural beings are, what they can and can't do, and the role they play in our life and faith. And right now, we're offering all six messages in Volume 1 of this collection as our thank you gift, when you support The Alternative with a contribution of any size. In fact, if you contact us right away, we'll also include the companion study guide. It's a real help for your personal devotions and a must for Bible study or Sunday school groups. So don't wait. Get the details today on the Angels CD series and study guide by visiting us online at tonyevans.org. And while you're there, you'll want to take advantage of a very special offer. You know, we've gotten so many requests for a book by Dr. Evans on parenting, and it's just about come out. It's called Raising Kingdom Kids. It's full of answers for your questions about maintaining discipline, building respect, passing on the baton of faith, and much more. Now, the release date is September 1st, but if you pre-order it right now, we'll send it to you just as soon as it's available, along with over $80 worth of bonus resources loaded with practical parenting help. Raising Kingdom Kids is a powerful follow-up to the bestsellers Kingdom Man and Kingdom Woman. And you can get details on this special pre-release offer and make your request online at tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. Staff members are standing by to help you right now. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, here's Dr. Evans now with more of today's message.
I came across a verse either that I've never read before or that I hadn't paid much attention to. In the church at Rome, look at what he says, just in a phrase, in Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Just a quick little phrase, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He tells the church at Rome, hang in there, the God, your God of peace, will crush Satan, but how? Under your feet. So you're the one stepping on him. God is just being the extra rock on your shoulder so that he's crushed when you step on him. But I got news for you. You step on him without God and you're going to be bit. Spiritual snake bite. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, that Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. Here he says the way he's going to do it is he's going to let you step on him, but he'll be the power behind the step under your feet. That grabs my attention. That's delegated authority. So that leaves the one final thing, personal responsibility. What do I do? What do I do? Number one, victory over the demons in your life to help somebody else with victory over demons in their lives. Number one, no spiritual compromise. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership hath righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship hath light with darkness? And then get this one. Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with a non-believer? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Which demons are behind. You get the point? No spiritual compromise. You can't have it both ways. You can't love the world and love God. I don't mean that you don't sin. We all sin. But I'm talking about your direction. It must be clear even when you do sin that that was a sin against God. I confess it. No compromise. If you are a fence-walking, tightrope-walking Christian, then you are a candidate for the demonic realm because there can be no fellowship between the two. So you must make a decision, no compromise. Secondly, you must be committed to prayer. We saw a moment ago, we won't turn there, but we saw in Acts chapter 16, Paul says, in the name of Jesus, come out of there. He used prayer, but he didn't use his own power. He borrowed power from Jesus. If you are not a compromising Christian and you are dependent upon the power of Christ, Christ lends you his authority over the devil and his demonic hordes. Removal of all remnants of the occult, Acts 19. Get rid of them. You remember that boy, while you turned to Acts 19, remember that boy who was from a childhood, he was having these epileptic fits and there was demons? And he had it from since he was a little baby? Well, when he was a little baby, he didn't do anything. He didn't worship anybody. You know why he had that? Mom and daddy. Exodus 20, to the third and fourth generation. Just like babies can be born with diseases, addicted to alcohol because they picked it up inside their mother. Guess what else your kids can pick up from you? A trail of demonic activity. So Acts chapter 19, verse 17. And this became known to all, both Jews and Greeks who lived in Ephesus. Fear fell upon them all. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ was being magnified. Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of all. And they counted up the pieces of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Them people were into this stuff. So some of you need to go home and start a fire tonight. And get rid of all them trinkets and everything else that links you to any facet of the occult. Because even if you aren't demon possessed, you may have a whole host of them circling your home because they feel comfortable in your environment. 2 Chronicles, don't turn there, but 2 Chronicles 14, 2-5 and 23, verse 17, the first thing that the righteous kings of Israel did was tear down the high places. They had to tear down the high places because that meant that demons hung out in the middle of the nation. Let me close. Last scripture, Matthew 12, where we just looked at it. Jesus will summarize it for us. Matthew chapter 12. Here's how it works. Verse 43. Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places. That is, empty, barren places. Seeking rest and does not find it. Why? Because spirits cannot fulfill themselves unless they're occupying something. So it's barren. Nothing is happening when they're not in somebody through which they can express themselves. Then it says, the Spirit says, I will return to my house, that is the person, from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and then go in and live there, and the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. This is the way it will also be in its evil generation, and that's deep. He says the spirit is in the house. For some reason, the spirit leaves the house and is in waterless places. That is, no place to refresh itself, no place to do anything. So it can't exist like that. Just like we can't exist in the desert for long, a spirit can't exist without being into somebody. So then it decides to go back home. When it gets back to this guy, it discovers something. That this guy has swept and cleaned. Through some mechanism, this guy has bettered his situation. And you better yourself. You clean up house. And for a few weeks, you're doing fine. But there's also one other problem with this person. Please notice the phrase, his house was unoccupied. In other words, even though the demon left, nobody else went in to live there. So you have an unoccupied house. I'm going to tell you now, if you leave your house unoccupied, no matter how much you sweep it and clean it, if you let that thing just sit there unoccupied, somebody is going to lay claim to it. And if somebody doesn't lay claim to it, it's still going to deteriorate. Because it must be occupied to be kept up. This house, this man's life is unoccupied. The demon sees that nobody is taking a place. So he says, well, since I can't find anywhere else, let me go back there. But does he go alone? No. He brings his cousins, his nieces, his nephews, his relatives. He brings the whole house, and the ones he brings are worse than he was when he was there. So if Jesus Christ doesn't occupy you, you're in trouble. Because the last state, it says, was worse than the first. So if you get rid of him and you want to keep him out, you better put a for rent sign outside of your life and say, Jesus, you can live here, not even going to charge you rent. You paid for the life anyway. So demonism is real. This thing is real. Now you can dismiss this lesson and say another fairy tale. Or you can believe this book is the word of God, and then you can begin to fight spiritual warfare. For the weapons of our war are not carnal, but are spiritual.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about how we can resist the devil's agenda and win the spiritual battles going on around us. And if you'd like to get the complete full-length version of this message, check with us for details on The Domination of Demons. Better yet, you can receive it as a part of Tony's current series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. You can request Volume 1, Volume 2, or both. And as I mentioned earlier, we're offering the 6 messages in Volume 2 of this CD collection and the personal or group study guide that goes with it as our thank you gift when you support our ministry with a contribution of any amount. So contact us at TonyEvans.org for the details. But don't wait, because this special offer ends soon. That's TonyEvans.org. Or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, next time, Dr. Evans will talk about one of the most powerful tools we can use to fight the influence of the devil, a grateful heart. Find out more when you join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.